and there is also an outline of the talk on the inside of our bulletins. Let's pray to begin. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that we will be people who love you, who listen to your word, and who hold fast to you, that we might have life. Amen. The news this week has been filled with discussion about the character test, which requires every foreign national to maintain good character to keep their Australian visa, to be law-abiding and continue to satisfy the character requirement on an ongoing basis, not engage in violent or criminal behaviour. 300 Queensland foreign nationals were stripped of their visas last year alone. Mr. Peter Dutton, the Minister for Immigration and Border Protection, he told A Current Affair he would continue his no-nonsense approach to deport anyone who might threaten the good nature of Australian society. It's no different to being invited into somebody's house. You don't start assaulting the residents of that house. You don't start assaulting Australian citizens, and if you do, you are shown the door. The only problem is that a 17-year-old boy is currently being held in an adult detention centre in Australia, which is a situation that needs a speedy resolution. And in 2 weeks, we begin exploring the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel, books that read like blockbuster movies. David and Goliath, kings and queens, thrilling adventures, murder and mayhem, as well as ordinary people swept up into the events that shape a nation. Exciting from beginning to end, 1 and 2 Samuel analyse human character. In Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, we have a character test. Who are those who will humble themselves before God and be exalted? And those who proudly defy God and find themselves cut off in darkness? Who will fail the character test when their actions are weighed? Not by Peter Dutton, but by the living God himself. And in the unfolding of God's salvation plan, 1 and 2 Samuel are also very much shaped by what comes before them. The first 5 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, lay the foundational framework for how to read Samuel and everything that follows. So that in Samuel, God's people are judged by how they obey or fail to obey Moses' words in Deuteronomy, spoken immediately before they enter the promised land. And Deuteronomy is all about making the right choice. Verse 15, have a look with me at verse 15 again. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. It's when Moses, Israel's great leader, first spoke these words, the whole Israelite nation were camped at a place called Moab, right on the edge of the land God had promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey. God had rescued the Israelites from brutal slavery in Egypt and brought them to this very spot. Unfortunately, that first generation of Israelites doubted God's word, and as a result, that whole generation died out in 40 years of wilderness wandering. So now, take 2, Moses now gives this new generation a choice to either keep loving, listening to, and holding fast to God once they enter the land, or turn away from God and self-destruct. On the reality TV show World's Strictest Parents, one show in the series featured 2 Aussie teenagers, a 16-year-old Brooke from Perth, whose definition of fun was drinking so much that one night she walked out in front of a car and almost died, her parents beside themselves with grief. And the second teenager, Mark from Caboolture, even more self-destructive, stealing from shops, stealing money from his parents, attacking his own mother. Mark lost a kidney when he was just 4 years old, so with one remaining kidney, his constant drinking meant he could very well die. His mum just wanted him to realise the damage he was doing to himself before it was too late. Would Brooke and Mark listen to their parents and enjoy life, or ignore them and self-destruct. So off to Sweden these two teenagers went to spend time with the Wallenskog family, a Peter and Annika Wallenskog and their five Wallenskog children, the strictest parents in the world. What we have in these five verses in Deuteronomy 30 is Moses' final impassioned plea to God's people. From verse 16, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." In these verses, Moses is summarizing the first 14 verses of chapter 28, the long list of blessings that would be theirs if they obeyed God in every area of life, enjoying relationship with God together in the land. He's begging them, he's commanding them even, to love the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Because life walking God's way would be awesome. You're back at the Wollongong's household. If everyone kept the rules, if Mark and Brooke stopped smoking and drinking and helped finish the chores, the whole family would go to McDonald's. That may not seem like a big deal, but in Sweden, McDonald's is awesome. With not drive-through, but McSki. Ski-through service. McDonald's Sweden serves only organic pickles, milk and beef. They recycle 90% of all restaurant waste for the good of the whole world. All McDonald's restaurants in Sweden run on renewable energy, and you can now even charge up your electric car while munching down a vegetarian McGarden burger. And if the Israelites fully obeyed the Lord their God and carefully followed all his commands, the blessings of God would also be never-ending. In chapter 28, Moses promises stacks to eat. Their crops and herds of cows and lambs would increase abundantly, as well as the number of children they would have to help them eat all the crops and cows and lambs. If they loved God and worshipped him only, not bowing down to the gods of the nations around them, they'd be protected from all their enemies. They'd be blessed in everything they did and share this joy of knowing God with the whole world. But if they turned away from God, life would be dreadful. Verses 17 and 18. Look with me there. "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." There are always consequences to our actions, to our choices. On world's strictest parents, the first rule of the Wallenskog household was that there'd be no smoking. Non-negotiable. But as Brooke kept sneaking cigarettes and the Wallenskogs discovered her mutinous ways, the consequences were horrific. First making her sleep in the attic on a Swedish winter, and when caught smoking a second time, having her makeup confiscated. But worse, because of Brooke and Mark's rebellion, everyone would suffer. Now, because of what they have done, we will not be skiing to McDonald's together as we had planned. It was their decision to take this away from us all. And in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, you can tell how desperate Moses is to try to make sure the Israelites never even think about turning away from God by how long he spends describing the terrible consequences of disobedience, nothing to eat. Their crops and herds would die and their children suffer. Everything they tried their hand at would fail. Disease would infect them, their animals defeat them. The plagues that God had brought against the Egyptians 40 years earlier would now be brought against God's own people. As armies laid siege to their cities, parents would no longer share food with their own children. Moses doesn't hold back. Just as Adam and Eve had been kicked out of the garden, the Israelites would find themselves kicked out of the land, scattered among the nations, even offering themselves back to Egypt as slaves, but no one wanting to even buy them. If their hearts turned away to worship other gods, they will certainly not live long in the land, but certainly be destroyed. A matter of life and death. So Moses pleads with them to choose life. verses 19 and 20. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And throughout Deuteronomy, Moses calls them to make the right decision today. Chapter 6 of these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Verse 15 of chapter 30, I set before you today. Verse 16, I command you today. Verse 19, this day. The Hebrew word for today is yom or hayom, this day, today. What Moses is bringing home is that each day is a new day. Their journey into the promised land would consist of a series of today. Every day a new day to choose to listen and obey God. Today I will love and listen to and hold fast to God. So just as Moses is calling them to decide to listen and obey God this day in Moab, on the edge of the promised land, he wants them to keep responding every day the same way once they're in the land. Today I will love and obey God no matter what. Today I will choose life. And choosing life, verse 20, is choosing to love God, listen to his voice, hold fast to God today. If we think that God is always kind, always loving, and never severe or strict, Deuteronomy is difficult to get our heads around. But if we walk away from our Creator, if we ignore the one who loves us and gives us life and breath and everything that's good, if we turn our backs on him, we cut ourselves off from the life giver, from the source. And we choose what will prove in the end to be self-destruction. And Deuteronomy leaves us in suspense. What will the Israelites choose once they're in the land? Will they choose life or destruction? Will they trust God's promise to care for them or turn to worshipping other gods? Will they experience God's blessings or curses? Or more next week as we briefly explore Judges and then embark on our journey into Samuel together. Because we too are standing on the edge. Not the edge of the promised land, but the edge of eternity. And you and I have a choice to make today, just as the Israelites did back then. To choose God. To choose an eternity of blessings, or turn away and self-destruct. To reject God is to choose everlasting destruction. But we have great hope. Even though we've all walked away from God, even though none of us listen or obey God as we should, even though we all deserve to experience every curse in the book, we have Jesus. Jesus, God's Son, who lived the perfect life, who listened to God, his Father, and never turned away. We cannot earn God's blessings, but Jesus has won them all for us. Through Jesus' perfect obedience, we can know God's blessing, to be chosen by God, to be adopted as his children, to be forgiven, to have him guide and direct our lives each and every day. To know these blessings, we need to first have God's curse removed from us. Instead of us having to suffer the curses of Deuteronomy 28, Jesus became a curse for us. As Jesus hung on the cross, he experienced the horror of separation from God that you and I deserve. And he did it so that we can be forgiven and experience every blessing that comes through having a perfect relationship with the living God. I love that moment toward the end of the world's strictest parents, when both Brooke and Mark receive a letter from their parents back home. Brooke's mum wrote, "Dear Brooke, my darling girl, I've been missing you so much. Brooke, you have to know how much I fear for your safety and even your life. Just this month, you drank so much you were hit by a car. I hope you never have to experience what we went through as we waited at the hospital to find out whether you were okay. I got so scared. I would hate to lose you, my precious only daughter. Please take this opportunity to change. I love you so much, Mum." And Jesus is God's love letter to us. "Dear," insert your name there, "I've been missing you so much. I know what you've done, and I hope you never have to experience how bad it is to spend eternity outside of my love. Please accept Jesus, who took your curse on himself. Please don't remain in sin and suffer the consequences, but take this opportunity today to receive Jesus today, so that you can receive every blessing in this life and the life to come, knowing God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for offering us a choice today. Thank you that you are still calling us today to choose life. Thank you that Jesus took every curse we deserve on the cross, that Jesus became a curse for us. We pray for your forgiveness and pray that you would help us believe that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. Help us to now love you, obey you, listen to you, hold fast to Jesus today and every day until we meet you face to face. Amen.